We appreciate the ministry of the worship team so much, leading us in worship today and to the depths of our heart before the Lord. Amen. I invite you, if you haven't already, to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 42 through 47. And as well, there is an outline in the bulletin that you can follow along if you find that helpful. And we will fill in those blanks through the PowerPoint if you'd like to do that. Let me read for us this next passage in Acts as we continue our series in the book of Acts. So beginning at verse 42, I will read this passage for us. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Would you take a moment and pray with me? Father, we come to your word. Your word is truth. And we ask that you will speak to us and that by the power of the indwelling spirit, you will enable us to embrace and put into practice your word and what you are saying to us today. We thank you, Lord. We trust you. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. A few months ago, Lenis Rojas shared with us, I'm not sure if Lenis is here today, but she shared with us in our prayer group that she had picked up her car that was being serviced at the dealership. And as she was driving off onto the beltway, as she's driving along, all of a sudden, one of the front wheels came off and went flying down the road. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. And as you can imagine, the car stopped. It wasn't going anywhere without that wheel. You see, the four wheels on a car, they keep it balanced. They keep the car rolling and moving forward. And without one of those tires, the car isn't going nowhere. It's not going to do what it was meant to do because one of the tires is missing. And so, as we look at this passage today, we see that there are four pillars of the early church that the disciples devoted themselves to. We could look at this, and I've titled it, What Are We Devoted To? And as I was going over this last night, I would have liked to change the title. And here's what I would like to change it to. What is required for us to be an effective church? So that's the question I'll pose for us. You see, we can't go back to the culture of the first century. But as a church, we can move forward and we can be dynamic and we can be effective at accomplishing what Christ has called us to accomplish. And what has he called us to accomplish? To reach people here in this area with the gospel, to grow them as disciples, and to equip and release them to serve with their gifts and abilities. Reach, grow, and serve. That's been the hallmark of our desire and our vision for this church for many years. To reach people in this area, to grow them as disciples, to equip and release them to serve, not just in this church, local church, but in their own spheres of influence. Jesus said he would build his church. But as we look at this passage this morning, I think we're going to see that we have a part to do. We have something that we must devote ourselves to, as the early disciples did. We're to be devoted to these biblical priorities to be an effective church. And by the way, I think the assessment that we are going through and that will be presented today is going to help us It's going to help us to see where we're at with those biblical priorities, how we're doing with it, where we need to change, where we need to grow, what we're doing well. I think the assessment is going to help us, all of us. It's going to help me. It already has. So again, thank you for participating in it. The main point then of this message is this, that to be an effective church, our discipleship in Christ must translate into devotion, commitment to these four pillars of the church. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. We read in verse 41 through 42 that those who had heard the message of the gospel were touched in their heart, struck in their heart, convicted in their heart, and they respond to Peter and his message. But then, it doesn't stop there, they then commit themselves, devote themselves to these biblical priorities. Now, at this point, there's been over 3,000 people added to the church. Talk about an instant megachurch. There was about a group of 120 disciples and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's an additional 3,000 people. That's pretty good church growth. But it's Spirit-empowered, and that's why it happened as it did. How did these people around them, how did the crowds around them, the folks that weren't necessarily a part of the church, they weren't disciples, how did they know that they were disciples? How did they know that they were Jesus' followers? Well, they saw their discipleship being demonstrated this way. They saw their devotion to the Lord demonstrated this way. They were demonstrated to the Lord, but they were demonstrated to the apostles. Excuse me. They were committed and devoted to the apostles' teaching, to God's word. And they were devoted to the fellowship, the belonging of one another. And they were devoted to the body and the community, the life of the body. You see, it wasn't merely words. And so it must be for us. We must be devoted to these biblical priorities if we want to see our church become more and more effective. So when we read this passage here, one of the first words that jumps out to you, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to these things. What does this word mean? Well, it's an interesting word. It means to be steadfastly attentive and adhering to it. In other words, they were committed to it, but it wasn't something that was just a short-term thing. It was ongoing. They committed themselves, and they were going to continue to commit themselves. They devoted themselves to it. In other words, it wasn't something they looked at as optional. And when we devote ourselves this way, when we're devoted to these biblical priorities, I believe, as we see here, the life and the power of Jesus Christ will be manifest in our midst. We read just a moment ago in verses 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. Some of them sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Wow. The life and the power of Christ was being manifested in their body. Do you long to see the life and the power of God being manifested in our body? In the midst of the people here? Jojo just prayed a few moments ago and shared from his heart that, you know, there's a lot of needy and hurting people in our communities. And do we want to see them be able to respond to the life of Jesus Christ being manifested in us? You see, God has always intended there to be an overflow. He doesn't really need us to do anything for Him. In fact, we really can't do anything for Him. But there is an overflow. As He pours His life into us, it then overflows into those all around us. And so if we'll devote ourselves more and more in these ways, I believe the life and the power of Christ will be manifested more and more as well. Let's break it down in the few minutes that we have together. Number one, as the early disciples were devoted, we too must be devoted to the apostles' teaching, Christ's word. Well, what is the apostles' teaching? That's the first statement, the first subject or a biblical priority in verse 42. The apostles' teaching is the truth of God's word that has been fulfilled in and revealed or expressed through Jesus Christ. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, over and over again, you hear Jesus say, "You have been taught," or "it has been said, but I tell you," and he then gives a new understanding or a new expression of the teaching of the law. That's because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had turned the law into something that it was never meant to be. They had turned it into a barrier for the people. They could never live up to what they would had turned the law into. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law themselves could not live up to it. And Jesus said, "I've not come to abolish the law, I've come to fulfill it." And so it's the truth of God's word fulfilled and expressed through Jesus Christ. I want to give you just a piece of the apostles' teaching. It's through the preaching of Paul. It comes from the verses 29 and 33 of that same chapter. And Eileen Rich is going to read that for us.
Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and he has poured out what you now see and hear.
Preaching and teaching, the epitome, the climax of Peter's preaching, and say, "Look, you have heard of this Jesus Christ. You know that he was crucified and that he was killed and executed, but now he has been raised from the dead. But not just that, exalted to the right hand of the Father, he has poured out what you now see and hear." The Holy Spirit had been poured out. You see, Christianity without the Holy Spirit is merely following a bunch of laws. It's a religion. But when we are empowered and infilled with the Spirit, then the life of Christ is expressed in us. And so Peter says to his listeners, he says, "You are to do something." They ask the question, "What are we to do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And we looked at that just a couple of weeks ago. That's the starting point. That's the starting point for becoming a Christian. You repent, you turn, and you dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. You invite him in, and he comes in by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so this is the apostles' teaching. It's the core of the apostles' teaching. So what do they do? Verse 41, they accept his message. Watch this. And they were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You see, they knew that baptism was an expression of their repentance. And so they get baptized. They didn't wait a year or two or three down the road, sometimes like we do. And maybe we need to have more frequent baptisms so that people can get baptized, you know, more quickly after they make a commitment to Christ. So they accept, they embrace this message, but it doesn't stop there. They then devote themselves to these priorities. So what does the apostles' teaching mean for us? It means that we have embraced God's word as the truth, expressed and fulfilled in Christ, and now recorded for us in the Gospels and in the early disciples and apostles' teaching. It means we embrace God's word as the truth. And it also means I'm submitted to God's word as the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." In John 17, verse 17, he says, "Father, sanctify your disciples, your followers. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." We must be devoted to the apostles' teaching, God's word, fulfilled and expressed through Christ. I believe many of us are. But I believe we must become even more devoted to the Word. There's many opportunities to study the Word together. I encourage you, check out the bulletin. On the backside are numerous Bible studies that you can become a part of. Go on our website and there's a little fuller description of the Bible studies. You see, God never meant for us to do this alone. We're going to see in just a minute that He created the body for us to do these together, to learn the Word together. And He provides pastors, teachers. He provides gifted leaders and able to, in order to teach the body. And I believe we're blessed with many wonderful teachers here in this body, both men and women. We're very thankful and very blessed to have the different opportunities that we have to study the Word together. So, are we devoted to the Word? Are we devoting ourselves more and more to the Word that Christ has given to us? You see, the Word is the substance of our faith. It's how we understand what we believe. And, of course, the epitome of it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, we must be devoted to the Lord's Word. Number two, we must also be devoted to the fellowship of His body, the fellowship of Christ's body. We read this verse 42b, to be devoted to the fellowship as the early believers were devoted. I adopted a phrase a long time ago, and I actually have had this in my preaching for many years, but then somebody took it and sounded like they made a song into it, out of these words. And I didn't get any kind of royalty from it, so that's unfortunate. But it's these words, you belong to me, and I belong to you. I think somebody made a song and said, you're my sweetheart, or something like that. But that's not what he's talking about here. It's not a matter of being a sweetheart. Here it says, you belong to me and I belong to you. We belong to each other in Christ's body. He has given us a new identity, a new family, a new belonging. If you know Jesus Christ and His Spirit has indwelt you, then you belong to me and I belong to you, whether we like it or not. And we all to get learn to get along together, because we're going to be in eternity together. It's going to be a long time. So we ought to work together and work out our differences right here and right now. This is the training ground. Well, when it says fellowship, what does this mean? The word fellowship means a participation, a partnership, a belonging. So it means the spiritual oneness and belonging in the body of Christ that has been given by the Spirit. What's amazing is you can go to another country, as I have done and many of you have done, and if you find Christians there, fellow believers, men, women, children, and if they have the Spirit of God within them, they belong to you and you belong to them, no matter what country you're in. It goes the same way here in this body. No matter what your ethnicity, your background, if you have the Spirit of Christ within you, you belong to me. And I belong to you. And therefore, we ought to act like it. We ought to be devoted to one another. Amen? And I have to be honest, this is sometimes something we struggle with. But you see, the early believers were devoted to the fellowship, this belonging of one another. And as they devoted themselves, they came together to worship. And they celebrated their new family. And so we read in verse 44. They were all together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Why? Because they saw the need with one another. Sometimes I'll speak to somebody and they're going through a difficult time and I'll say, you know, we would like to help as a church body. We would like to help, you know. Is there a bill that we can pay? Is there something that we can take care of? Oh, no, Pastor. You know, I don't want you to do that. Why not? You're my brother. You're my sister. I want to take care of you. I want to help you. Because you know what? There's been times you've helped me. There's been times, as JoJo boldly shared, and he's not afraid to say it, and I'm glad. He said, there's been many times we have helped him. You see, sometimes our pride gets in the way, doesn't it? We don't want to be seen as somebody who needs help. Well, guess what? I need a lot of help. And thank you for being so gracious with me, because I need an awful lot of help. Maybe it's not always money, but it might be in other ways. And so this fellowship, this belonging together, is a supernatural thing. They loved and they cared for one another because they understood they belonged to each other. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, and we're not going to take time to read that this morning. I encourage you, I don't know if it's not in your outline, so you can write that down in your outline and take time to read it this week. And it talks about the fact that God has created this new family. How? By His Holy Spirit. He's given us a new identity, and He's building us. Watch this. You with me? Say amen. He's building us into a new habitation, a new dwelling place by which His Spirit lives in us. You see, this building is not the habitation of God. This building is in no way correspondent to the temple or the ark where God's presence was. Guess what? When we go home from here and we turn the lights off, we don't leave God in the dark. We don't leave Him here. We take Him with us because He's within us. We are the habitation of God. And that's why it really doesn't matter if we have chairs in here or if we set up tables and have meals, because it's just a building. It's just a meeting room. The church of God, the habitation of God, is you and me. And we belong to one another. And we have this beautiful new family that God has made. Are we devoting ourselves to each other more and more in this body of Christ? You see, if we want to be a dynamic, effective church, if we want to see the life and the ministry of Christ fulfilled in our midst more and more, then we must devote ourselves more and more. Number three, we must be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles' teaching, His word, the fellowship of His body. And then next it says the breaking of bread, the breaking of bread. We can call this community. What does that mean? Community means that you share your life together. In Galatians, it says to give preference to one another in the body of believers. To give preference, to give honor to one another, especially the household of faith. You see, I hope as a body that we want to spend more time together than just 1 hour on Sunday. I'll be very honest with you. If all we want to do is come together and spend 1 hour on Sunday, we're not going to be a dynamic or an effective church. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take sharing our lives together. And that's why we've had some small groups, and we're going to be starting some new small groups, and we would like you to be a part of it. That's one of the ways that we are able to share our life together. We see the early believers, they're sharing their life together, but not just having a meal together. That's a part of it. By the way, that's a very intimate thing to have a meal together, isn't it? You eat together. I'm looking forward to going over today to David Napatulu's house. They're celebrating his birthday, and I'm looking forward to having some Asian food. Last time I was there, some of it got stuck in my throat, and I was hiccuping, and it was very embarrassing. Hoping that doesn't happen today. But eating together is a great thing, but it's got to go beyond eating together. They were ministering to each other. They were encouraging each other, building each other up. We saw just a moment ago, it says they even went to the extent of selling property and possessions so that they could meet each other's needs. They were using the gifts that God had given and the possessions and their abilities to minister to one another. You see, in the early church, there was probably more smaller house churches than we have today in the size of our congregations, 30 to 40 people. And so they could really minister to one another because they really knew one another and they shared life together. See, not only did they share and worship together, but they shared life in the context of worship. They celebrated communion in the context of the common meal. It was called the Love Feast. And it talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there is even some instruction there about the Love Feast, how they are to not go ahead of their brothers and sisters and not leave any food for them. It says, don't use the communion wine to get drunk on that, as some were doing. See, the early church had a lot of problems too, just like us. Not surprising, is it? Because we're human. But they had an intimacy and they celebrated it, but they were devoted to one another. So much so that they shared their life, they encouraged each other, they built each other up. Whenever there was a need, they met it. Spiritual gifts were being poured out by the Holy Spirit to believers as they ministered to one another. It's awesome to see someone come to Christ and all of a sudden they begin to minister in their giftedness. And maybe they begin to minister in a way that they never thought that they would do. But God uses them and begins to use them to encourage and build each other up and challenge. Sometimes there's someone who has a gift of exhortation and they begin to use that gift. And man, sometimes we don't like that, do we? But we need that. We need all of the gifts that God has for His people. So they're devoted to this body, this belonging, but also to sharing life together in the fellowship of community. Number four, we must be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, to the fellowship of His body and community. And then, most importantly, because it's the glue that holds it all together, is to prayer. The early disciples were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was expressed through prayer. The word prayer is a very simple word. It means to simply speak forth. But in this context, it means this: to have corporate intercession, corporate speaking forth to God. It also includes the aspects of praise and worship. There's many, many ways that we can pray together. We come together as a congregation, and every week we pray. We think it's important. We think it's a biblical priority. And we try to make it fresh, and we try to be creative about it. By the way, I've encouraged you, and I continue to encourage you, take your bulletin home. You know, put it on the mirror, put it on the fridge, wherever it's going to remind you, and pray for one another. The needs that are in this body. To pray for our country, our president, elected officials. Pray for the needs that are expressed each week. Our missionaries. I don't know about you, but I need that reminder in order to be effective in my praying. You can join us for an hour or sometimes not quite an hour of prayer and intercession on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. There's a handful of us that meet, and we have a list of people that need prayer and items and things. We pray over this church. Did you know that? Every Wednesday night, we pray that God will pour out His Spirit over this church as we come together. I like Brother Jim's prayer. And David has been joining us the past few weeks, and he prayed something this past week. He said, Lord, bind the evil one from being on this property at all. Bind his hands and all his demons from being on this property. And everybody that comes in, that they would sense the Spirit of God. Do you sense the Spirit of God here this morning? As we worship the Lord, did you sense the Spirit touching your heart? I believe part of that is because we prayed together. So join us. You might say, oh, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. That's okay. I don't either. I just do the best I can. And so come and listen to us pray. And you know what? Before you know it, you'll be crying out to God too. You'll be asking Him the very things that we are asking the Lord. Maybe you say, I can't make it on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. I work late. Okay. You know what? Mike Windsor has been meeting here at 8:30 every Sunday morning for prayer. Mike, you mind if they join you? 8:30, come on out for prayer. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I know how to pray. That's okay. Come listen to Mike. He'll lead you in how to pray. You see, if we're not committed to prayer, if we're not committed to crying out and asking God, Lord, have your way, have your way. Pour out your Spirit. By the way, every time we come together, no matter what it is for Bible study, for worship team, for Sunday school class, even if you come and you just get a cup of coffee together, pray. Pray. Pray for each other. Make it a habit of prayer. We're going to see an example of this a little more clearly in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. I didn't think I was going to have time to read that this morning, but we are. We're going to have time. Actually, we're going to begin at verse 27. We see an example of the believers coming together and listen to what they say. I'm sorry. Could you back up to 24 for me? Verse 24. I apologize. I know I sprung this on you. Verse 24. When the believers heard this, that Peter and John had been released, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant and our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Lord, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did it. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Watch this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow. Wow. Do we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do we want to be able to speak the word of God boldly? Then we need to pray. You know, if we came together and maybe just read that as a starting point, what would God do? How would he encourage us and embolden us to pray? And then not only to pray, to be filled with the Spirit and speak the Word of God boldly. We must be devoted to prayer. It's what the Lord Jesus calls us to. We're told over and over again in the Word to pray. I want to give you some encouragement. If you would put that picture up. This past week, a group of young people gathered in Orlando, Florida. And you know what? They didn't gather there to go to Disney World. There's nothing wrong with going to Disney World. But what they gathered there was to have a prayer gathering. Thousands and thousands of young people gathered to pray and worship the Lord and cry out to Him for revival. Thousands. You see, it's all about what we want. See, if we just want to have an hour on Sunday, have a nice church, God will give us that, and that's about it. But if you want to have an effective, dynamic church filled with the Spirit, reaching out and fulfilling what He's called us to do to reach others with the love and the gospel of Christ, then we have to pray. We have to be devoted to His Word and to one another. The belonging that we have in the Spirit of Christ and praying and seeking Him. Amen. That's what He wants for us as a congregation. Let's stand, and I would like to lead us in a season of prayer. Would you just, in the spirit of intercession and the spirit of joining your hearts in prayer, would you please join with me? Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, and we just seek you this morning. Oh, Lord, we worship you with all of our hearts, Lord. We thank you for meeting with us here. We thank you, Lord, for pouring out your Spirit and touching us. But Lord, we want more than this for ourselves. We want to overflow into the lives of others. Lord, we want you to send us forth and to pour out on people all around us, Lord. Lord, we're not concerned about making a name for ourselves. We're concerned about making a name for you. We want Island Alliance Church to be known by you and what you do, how you pour out your Spirit, how you touch people, how you give us compassion and a brokenness for those all around us, Lord. So, Father, please, would you pour out your Spirit fresh and anew in our hearts? Would you renew within us the desire and the devotion to your word and to the belonging, Lord, to the fellowship that we have with one another and to prayer, to praying and seeking you, Lord. And Lord, I know as we do this, you're going to do great things. Father, that's our heart. We're completely dependent on you, Lord. But you've called us to be devoted to these things. So we commit ourselves this morning. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. And we thank you. Father, I thank you for your people. Thank you for their patience in listening to your word. I bless them. And as we go forth from this place, Lord, use us. We give ourselves to you, Lord. Use us for your honor and your glory. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you.